Well, today is Mother's Day, so we've set aside this day to acknowledge mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and I want to spend time today really talking about the important role of a mother. How many here have a mother? If you didn't raise your hand, Scott Algren will be teaching a biology human anatomy class down here, 6 to 8:30 p.m. He just found that out. We all have moms, right? We all have mothers, and so, and that really is going to lead us into our first important role, but let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you just for the opportunity this morning that we have to be able to already have gathered here for our Christian education time, and Lord, as we gather, we sing praises to you. We think of your love. We think of your grace. We think of your the fact that you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And so I pray that that would be the reason that we're gathering here today, is to worship you, even as we stop today and we reflect on the role of a mother. Your creation, your perfect design. And so, Lord, we thank you for moms. We thank you for mothers that have invested in our lives, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So Lord, as we come to you in prayer and as we begin to look at these important roles, first of all, we praise you. We give you the honor and the glory, but also, Lord, for those of us who have had, I know everyone here has a mother, and we can be thankful that they chose life. Thank you for the moms here that continue to invest. And just pray that we would see today the important roles of a mom as we live in a society that really oftentimes looks down on this role or the importance of it. So again, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this important role, I asked how many have a mother. We all have a mother, and again, then that leads into the first role, the biological role of a mother. Look back at Genesis chapter 1. Verses 27 and 28. Go back to verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice it doesn't say 52 different genders. Male and female. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so motherhood is designed by God. It's a blessing. Motherhood is a high calling. It's a sacred vocation. It's a great blessing. You know, you go back to the Garden of Eden. God created man and woman. He says, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it." And yes, men, we have children, but we don't bear them. We don't carry them. And so this mandate, this mother has a divine mandate from God to carry that child. The mother is used by God in a very special way. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." She's the mother of all living. And think about this. As that baby's in the mother's womb, and you stop and think about this, she's the source of nourishment. I'm not a lot of what I've learned from listening to my wife. She's a doula, and so she's always talking about these things, you know. And so I've listened sometimes, but God's design is amazing, isn't it? You stop and think, this umbilical cord contains one vein and two arteries, and that vein carries this oxygen-rich blood to that baby, and there's vitamins, there's nutrition, that mother becomes a source of, really, of nourishment. And it carries these carbs, the fats, the vitamins, the minerals through the mother's bloodstream to that baby. And then also, you know, the placenta delivers that nutrition and and this oxygen, and it's crucial also in eliminating waste from that baby as well. It's the mother is the source of nourishment for that baby. What a perfect design that God designed that mother, and how that baby gets nourishment and oxygen, and how that baby survives. When you stop and think about God's perfect design, it's amazing. Life is absolutely amazing. And this mother is a source of nourishment. While that baby is in the womb, the mother is a source of security. That baby is secure from external agents like light and sound and shock, and that amniotic fluid becomes a kind of a shock absorber for that baby, and that baby is protected in the mother's womb. Again, it's amazing how God designed that and how God created that. And to stop and think that place of nutrition, nourishment, and security becomes a death chamber through abortion. And that place that should be a place of security, some people choose to execute a living being. But God designed that mom, that biological role, to be a place of nourishment, a place of security. It's a place of immunity. That baby is protected. Again, the placenta protects from bacteria, protects from viruses, and that baby is just in a very safe and healthy environment that God place that baby in to grow and to develop. It's a source of development. Look at Psalm 139:13. Psalm 139 Verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." That mother's womb is a place that baby is marvelously knit together in the mother's womb. That baby from conception, it's life. It's a human life. And God gave that mom the biological role. And again, society tries to minimize or even deny the significant differences between man and a woman. And they tell you, oh, if you want to identify as this or that, you can. You can't. God fashioned you and he formed you, and you are either male or female at conception, and you can't change that. But God created male and females have this God-given role to carry in the womb that little baby, and it becomes a source of nourishment and protection. It's a source of immunity. It's a source of development. That's the biological role of a mother. And isn't that an amazing thing that God did? God designed and created in that environment for growth and development and security and safety. And another role that moms have is an emotional role. And now here's a place here. Now, maybe you're here and you're not a biological mother. But people that, ladies that are not a biological mother can also fill this role. We see adopted mothers in Scripture. Pharaoh's daughter was really an adopted mother of Moses. Naomi was a biological mother, but really became an adoptive mother to Ruth. But I can remember growing up, there's a lot of kids in our neighborhood that called my mom, Mom. And why did they do that? Because she played that role, that emotional role. A lot of times she fulfilled a role that mothers do. I've heard a lot of kids call my wife, Mom. And again, why do they do that? Because she filled that role as a mother. They look to her as a mother. And so moms really fulfill that emotional role. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. You know, when God wanted to describe gentle, nurturing care, he didn't inspire Paul to say, like a dad. He said, like a mother. So if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives." So as he's talking about how he approached this church, how he interacted with them, how he cared for them, he says, like a mother nourishes her children in this emotional role. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66. Verse 13. "Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry." Let's see, that looks like the wrong verse. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. 13. "And one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Why didn't he say, as one whom his father comforts? But as one whom his mother comforts. You know, as I was thinking about this, how does a mom respond? I mean, gentle, right? Loving. And I'm not saying that a mother loves more than a father, but it's often how a mother interacts. It's often displayed differently and more publicly when a mom responds to a kid than when a dad does. I'll give you an example. I remember, in 1976, Dad added onto the house. He added a dining room on the upper level, and then he added the basement underneath, and that basement area became a place where we stored our wood. We had 8-quart of wood we'd put up every year. He had the wood stove. And there's also canned goods in there. So he added on, and then he knocked a hole in the block wall, and it had jagged edges to those concrete blocks. And I remember my mom saying, "Go downstairs, go in and get a jar of canned vegetables." That she had canned from the garden. Well, there was a bulb in there. There's light in there, but I had to stand on a step stool. I was too small. I was 8 years old, and I had to give it like a quarter turn to get the light on. And so you go through that entrance in the dark. Well, I went in, and my bonehead brother, hope he's not on here, he says he left his barbell with weights right at the doorway. So I went in, and I tripped over it, and I gashed my eye open from about my eyebrow down here, and I was bleeding like a stuck hog. And I go like that, and my hand's full of blood, my shirt's full of blood, and I was probably crying, maybe. But anyway, my dad was working in the basement, and he, "What's going on?" And I went out, and there's blood everywhere. "What are you doing?" And that was his natural response, was he seemed mad when I got hurt. Like, I could have tripped over the, and he's chewing me out, and he wasn't really mad at me, but that's how he responded. When I got hurt, he yelled. It's like, "What are you doing? Why'd you trip over that?" And when my mom heard the commotion, she comes downstairs. What'd she do? And if I wasn't crying when my dad started, I was. But my mom came down, and what she do? She gives me a hug, and she's cleaning it up, and she takes me in, and I get stitches. So when I got hurt, I didn't go to my dad because he hurt my feelings. I'd go see my mom. But why did God use a dad? Or you know, moms, they're gentle and they're loving. And my dad's traits carried over to me. I don't get mad when my kids get hurt, but you know, my grandkids, they get hurt and they'll pile up in a heap on a bike. And I go over and I say, "What's the matter?" My elbow, and they're holding on to their right elbow. What I do, I look at the left. And I do it intentionally. I look at their left elbow and I say, "Is it hurt here?" "No." "Is it hurt here?" "No." I said, "You're good." "But Pop, it's this one." And so I come back and I start looking at their knee. You know, all I want them to do is quit crying. If they want attention, they go to mom or grandma. Because all I'm going to do is I'm going to try and distract them. I think my theory is they'll quit thinking about it if something else hurts. You know, get their mind off of it. Moms are gentle and they're loving. And you know, God designed mothers that way. They fill that biological role that when that baby is still in the womb, there's nutrition and immunity and that development that takes place, and what a special blessing. But how many here, haven't you seen that in life, that moms tend to be more gentle and loving and caring and nurturing? Am I the only dad that tries to distract them? Be honest. Aren't you thankful for moms? And that gentleness and that care? And I don't know if I would have gotten stitches, my dad would have just left me there. He would have eventually cleaned up the blood, but you stop and you think about that, and moms are gentle, they're loving, they're protecting by nature. And you don't just see that with mankind, you see it in the animal world. Do you ever want to get between a sow and her cubs? You know, you see a mother bear and her cubs, and you're like, God, I don't want to get between them. And mothers tend to be that way, maybe to a fault sometimes, in protecting. You don't mess with their cubs. there's a protection that goes on. And again, this God-given nature of a mom, to take that emotional, that gentleness, that nurturing, that care that they give, and God uses that to explain His care for us in Scripture. And we need to be honest. And men, we can learn from this. I mean, doesn't mean that a man can't or shouldn't be gentle and loving and caring. It's just by nature. The lady is by nature better at that. You know, I looked at some polls this week comparing the average time spent of a mother with children and a father with children. And mothers overall spend quite a bit more time with kids than the fathers do. And part of that might be because the man generally is the primary provider, not all the time. But even when you look at time, the actual time that they spend with their children, what do you think that the average time that a man spends with his kids, what is he doing with them? Any ideas? It's leisure, or playing with them, or making them work. I need help. Nothing wrong with that. And the hours spent, a lot less hours by the father spent in education, or physically caring for them. And then that flips with the mother. A lot more time in education and physically caring, less time in leisure and entertainment. That's why dads are the fun ones, right, kids? Right? Right? But moms just spend more time in the education, the physical caring than the fathers do. And so moms are spending a major portion, physical care, education, smaller percentage in leisure. But moms have this important biological role and a very important emotional role. But the last role I want to look at today is the spiritual role. The spiritual role that moms have. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I mentioned John Newton already, and he was a rebel. But he remembered what his mother taught him. He had recall of what his mother taught and instilled in him, and he put his faith in Christ, a changed man. But look at Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Look down at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. But you stop and you look at these, the spiritual roles, and not many women are listed in this faith chapter, but we can learn so much, these women of faith throughout Scripture, and how they taught by example. Go to Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 through 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And teaching by example, that important role that they had in living out their faith. And as you go back to Hebrews 11, And those last verses I read, surely there have been women through their faith have suffered persecution and hardship and trial because they lived out their faith, and they are good examples to others. And so they've taught by examples, instruction in life. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9, or verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Moms have an important role in teaching their kids Scripture. Chapter 31, verse 26 of Proverbs. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Talking about this virtuous woman. And so, Proverbs portrays a mother instilling godly wisdom in her son. How important is it for a mom to do that? To instill godly wisdom in their children. And oftentimes, moms, you spend more time with your children than the father does, just partly because of work. But that instruction in life to portray and to give godly wisdom, teaching the word and prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 9. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Now is that talking to moms or dads or both? Okay, it's taught. This is parents, okay, teaching their children the Word of God. And shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And yes, spiritually, the man should be the spiritual leader in the home. But when he's not home, shouldn't the wife be instilling truth as well? Shouldn't she be living by example and giving the word of God and praying for their kids? And so go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. And Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. What's implied through those verses? Where did Timothy hear the gospel? Where did he see the gospel lived out? Doesn't mention his father, but his grandmother and his mother. He heard the truth through his mother and his grandmother. It was instilled in them. So Eunice and Lois, he hears the gospel. He grew as a believer because of these two important women in his life. They instilled truth into his life. How about Amelia Taylor? How many know Hudson Taylor? You ever heard of Hudson Taylor? How about Amelia Taylor? Have you ever heard of her? And Hudson Taylor was a great missionary in China. Most people know that. His obedience led thousands of people to Christ. But what a lot of people don't know is that he was once a scoffer and a rebel. But God used his mother Amelia's prayers to pull Hudson out of his rebellion. Listen to this. It says, Amelia traveled 50 miles from her home in Barnsley, England, to visit her sister. It was during this time that she resolved to lock herself in her room for hours and plead to God that he would save her son, Hudson. Her compulsion to pray for her son grew to such a degree that she decided that she wouldn't leave that room until she was assured that God had answered her prayer. Back home, Hudson was bored. He meandered around the house, landing himself in his father's library, where he began pulling books off the shelf. He came across a gospel tract titled Poor Richard, and he read the words, The Finished Work of Christ. It was that day that Hudson understood what Jesus Christ did on that cross, that he died to pay the penalty for his sin, that he couldn't save himself, and he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He prayed for salvation 50 miles away. His mother was praying for him in a room. What a mother, huh? He receives the gift of salvation as his mom prays and pleads with God that her son would be saved. How many know Charles Spurgeon? I think most of us do. How about Eliza Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon's mother begged and pleaded with God to save her rebellious son. Little did she know that he would one day grow up to be known as the Prince of Preachers, seeing thousands upon thousands of people flocking to his church to hear him preach. Later on, Spurgeon would say this about his mother. He says, I am sure that in my early youth, no teaching ever made such an impression upon my mind as the instruction of my mother. Neither can I conceive that to any child there can be one who will have such influence over the heart as the mother who has so tenderly cared for her offspring. Think of that role of a mom. How important that is. And so you have Eliza Spurgeon. I think of this letter here. I have this Bible. I think I've showed this before. I have this Bible in a Ziploc bag because it is literally falling apart. And you look at this. But in the page of this Bible, there's a blank page, and I made a photocopy of it here. I'm going to read it to you once I get this back in. A worn-out Bible is a good thing. Let's see if I can read it. Notice it was written in 1950. But it says, Dear Joe, this book of God's Word I give to you, and may its contents thrill your soul. May you read daily and pray always for the guiding hand of the Lord Jesus. And may the light of Jesus so shine through you that our four children may find Christ in following in the footsteps of their dad. If I go first, this challenge I leave to you as their father, that I might see you all at his coming. If you be first, then I will do likewise. And if we can travel life's road together until he comes, let's make our lives count for him, that we may stand guiltless before the throne of grace. With all my love, Fran. So that Bible, my grandma bought it for my grandpa in 1950. My dad would have been 10 at the time. And she wrote on that blank page, Grandpa died in 1966. So my dad would have been 26 at the time. Uncle David would have been 12 when he died. But my grandma did exactly what she promised in that letter. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. You couldn't walk My dad said that one time he went over, he knocked on the door, she didn't answer because she couldn't hear anything. He had to yell. Finally, I bang, bang, but she didn't answer, and so he finally walks in, thought maybe she had died. She was in her 90s. He walked over to the dining room table, peered into her room. She's on her knees praying. So he just grabbed a chair, and he sat there and watched her pray for about 45 minutes out loud for her kids, her grandkids. Amazing. You couldn't go over there. I didn't get saved till I was 20. But I'd go over there and I'd to visit her. She made the best molasses cookies on the planet. But I'd go over there and she'd say, "Steve, you're not living right. Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for your sin. You need to trust in Him for your salvation. You can't save yourself. He died for you. He loves you." And she'd quote John 3:16, "For God so loved you, Steve, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." And she would preach at me. She never preached from a pulpit, but I'm telling you, I heard every time I went over there. She'd give you the gospel, and if you were saved, she's telling you, you better live right. You're to be a living sacrifice. She loved prophecy. She was waiting for the rapture. That woman was a pillar in our family. She impacted my father and me both directly and indirectly. Ladies, you play a vital role. You play a vital role, biological role of a mother by God's perfect design. What an amazing role that only you can fill. That emotional role, being gentle and loving and caring. And then this spiritual role, the opportunity to invest. John Newton, Hudson Taylor, Charles Spurgeon, Jim Berg, Steve Berg. How many here have a mother or a grandmother that invested in your life spiritually? How many? That shared the truth of God's Word. I know Pastor Brian could come up here and talk about his mother who taught me Sunday school when I was little. And they are moms and grandmothers that have impacted us spiritually. You have such a vital role to invest. You know, Timothy, you play this vital role in the lives of children, grandchildren, and those who look to you as a mother figure. Timothy was the man he was, yes, because of the work of God, but also because of his grandmother and his mother. And so the application here this morning, the so what? Ladies, you have this important God-given role. Whether you're here as a biological mother, an adoptive mother, or a spiritual mother, one who invests in other children in a motherly way, you have such an important role. You know, society promotes abortion, and that mother's womb is supposed to be a place of security, immunity, and becomes a death chamber. That biological role, it's God-given, it's extremely important. That emotional role is extremely important. That spiritual role is extremely important. So take your role seriously and honor God in it. And you know, we also have an opportunity around. There's children around. They had a biological mom, we all do, but some of them don't have the mom that fills that emotional role or that spiritual role. And so you have that opportunity to do that. To invest in other kids and to take on that role because they may not see it in their biological or their earthly mother. So take that role seriously. It may be your testimony, your persistence in prayer that shapes another Timothy, another Hudson Taylor, another John Newton, another Charles Spurgeon. Take your role seriously. And if your mom's still living, I urge you today to to call her and thank her. And maybe you sit here and say, you know what, I didn't have a God-honoring mother. I didn't have a mother that was that emotional or spiritual role. But you can't thank her because she chose life, right? She chose life, and because of that, you have life. So I just urge you to call your mother and thank her. Thank her for what you can thank her for. And maybe it's your testimony that leads your mother to Christ. Call her. She's still that source of, she was that source of nutrition and security and protection. She chose life. But if you're a mom or fill that role as a mom, we want to thank you and honor you for that role this morning. You fill an important role. And so we want to thank you this morning. These flowers that are up here are for you. If you're here and you're a mom, or you fill that role of a mom in the lives of others, you're investing in other kids, come up and grab a flower after. They're here for you. Thank you. Thank you for your role and what you do. Only you can fill those roles. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your creation, your design, perfect design of mothers filling that biological role, that nourishment and that care, that protection, such a perfect, unique design by a perfect creator, perfect designer. We praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for moms that fill that emotional and spiritual role. So many lives that have been impacted for eternity because of a praying mom, because of a persistent mom guiding and directing in truth. So, Lord, we thank you for those moms. Lord, for those that are here that someday aspire to be a mom, may they look to your word to see what an earthly mother should be, that gentleness, loving, caring, teaching by example, teaching your word. So Lord, we thank you for moms today. I just pray that each one of us would stop and reflect and thank our mothers in ways that we can. And again, that you would be exalted through the lives of those that are here today that fill that role or are a biological mother as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brian?